The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people.
Real opinions.
Real talk radio.
4FM.
Biggest story of the day, still the biggest story certainly of the last 24 hours, and this in relation to Margaret Cash. Well, as you know, Margaret slept overnight with six of her seven children in a Garda station in Tallaght. And this has, of course, raised the conversation once again about the homeless crisis. And it's not just about Margaret, it's become about everybody. And to talk to me is Patrick Nellis, who's from Dublin's West Housing Action. Good afternoon to you, Patrick.
Good afternoon.
On a very serious note, we've got a lot of very vulnerable families and vulnerable people currently living in the state. Would it be easy, Patrick, to blame the government and say that there's no personal responsibility anymore, or is it a combination of both?
No, well, it's a combination. The state has definitely failed them. They have never represented them, really, true failed them. So the private rental market. But before we continue on the girl itself, the people that's posting file comments on Facebook need to get their act together and grow up. But anyway, back to the thing, I blame the state, I blame the government. They continue to let vulture funds roam into this country, taking over NAMA property when they could acquire it themselves and put it into some sort of social and affordable housing or public housing. I know there's a public campaign there as well, because this can't continue. There were 16 children two nights ago spent in Garda stations across Dublin. There have been 48 families referred to Garda stations in the last month. This is a growing number, and it's getting worse and worse. And
can you explain to me and to the listeners how this number is actually growing, or why this number is growing, when the population is not increasing? You know, when you look per population, it's not increasing as much as the numbers of homeless is growing. So unemployment is down. Obviously, you know, a lot of those people have got jobs, have got minimum wage jobs, which still means they can't afford a home, right? But unemployment is down, which should have helped somewhat. But yet we're seeing the increase happen. We haven't had a reduced amount of housing. There hasn't really been a great increase, but there hasn't been a reduced amount. So how are we seeing the number rising?
Well, I'll tell you why it's rising now, right? This famous HAP scheme that came in, it has its benefits, right? Okay? It's the private rental market where they're paying $27 million a month to landlords. I've been dealing with people in and out of HAP. Landlords can give servant notice for whatever reason, for they're saying they're selling the property.
Or one of their sons or siblings are moving into it or whatever.
Turns out 90% of the cases is not true. So most of these people that are pushed onto the streets and into emergency accommodation are actually coming from the private rental market and from HAP. There was one lady we spoke to a few weeks ago. This is her second time now gone into emergency accommodation because her landlord is selling, and the first time it was the exact same, and we're investigating at the minute. So she's gone back. She went into an emergency accommodation. She ended up in 18 months. She's gone back. They forced HAP on the again, since she'd been in emergency accommodation for years and years. Now again, over a year later, she's back into an emergency accommodation. So the HAP has failed us. There definitely has failed us in the
Is it also failing as well, Patrick? Because, okay, I understand people are in awkward situations when a landlord dumps them out on the street. And of course, we're seeing a huge rise in Dublin property prices, rental market prices. You're right, landlords are pushing up the prices because they know professionals are willing to pay it, okay? But is the problem as well, part of the problem is that people are not willing to move out of their comfort zone. So if we've got, you know, Mary from Tallaght and she has three kids and the landlord squeezes her out of the property, which is wrong in the way he's done it, right? We'll accept that. But is it a case that Mary then just doesn't want to move from Tallaght, and Mary's just not going to get a place in Tallaght? And, you know, she's waiting out to try and get that place, where there might be a place in Balbriggan for her, or there might be a place for her out in Kildare, if she doesn't need to be in the city. I mean, if we could alleviate that problem, would that not help?
Yeah, well, I had this discussion with you a couple of days ago, okay? The housing crisis goes beyond Dublin, okay? Mm. We discussed it the last day. I tried to get a tenant that wanted to get transferred into Kildare. Kildare wouldn't accept her because they said she'd have to start from scratch. So she was willing, there was a family willing.
So are you telling me if somebody's on the housing list for, say, 5 years, and they move from Dublin City Council to Kildare County Council?
Yeah, it has to start from scratch.
They go back to square one again?
Yes, Yes, and they go back to square one because they're in a different area. You have to go back.
But they'll still get HAPs. That may be the case with the housing list, but they still get HAP, won't they?
They can get HAP again, but okay. It's harder to get HAP down the country than it is around here because I know that I cover, I know I'm only supposed to cover Dublin, but I actually cover Carlow, Kildare and Meath as well. We have support workers everywhere, and in Meath alone, we had a family looking to move up there, and they have, and they can't get a property up there for half hour. So,
but there are parts of the country where there are properties available, and plenty of properties available.
But this is where we want the government to go on and put compulsory orders on them and take them over and provide them. I'm sure there's plenty.
But compulsory
of
orders on what? On what vacant
on
properties?
The vacant properties that are lying empty is like the properties.
But
that
you're talking about properties in Dublin.
Outside Dublin as well.
But you're talking about properties that would be desirable, when I say desirable, that people want in Dublin, Cork, Galway.
There's ghost estates there everywhere.
Well, there's 7,000 houses in Leitrim.
Yeah, so why don't they take those over and provide
absolutely.
Them, you know, but this is the argument
But Patrick, you know as well as I do, going back to this fictitious woman, Mary from Tala, she's not going to want to move to Leitrim.
Now,
there's no reason for her to need to live in Dublin, apart from maybe near her mother or her sister or whatever it is, but she's not going to want to move to Leitrim.
No, I understand that, but there is major people, but I guarantee you there's loads of people that we deal with would move out if they were secure and a secure tenure. They don't want to be landed in the a threat of being homeless again or a threat, you know, hanging over the head. They want secure tenure. And that's up there. And look, I have numerous people on here come to us, would definitely move outside Dublin. We got somebody moved to Meath there a couple of months ago. They're happy, but somebody else then couldn't get into Meath because they couldn't get a half property. And it's all a mess. And
okay, so if I accept that, and I think the people will accept that the government are not doing everything they should be doing, and we understand that, right? Considering the type of crisis we have at the moment, they certainly should be stepping up to the plate, right? Now, I know Rome wasn't built in a day. I know we can't wave a magic wand and suddenly produce thousands of houses because that's just not possible, right? But we could do it over time. We know the HAP scheme is a disaster.
No, hold on. Why can't the government snap up the properties that they handed out the vulture funds?
I think it's fair to say we all agree with you when it comes to vulture funds. Vulture funds should play no part in this country whatsoever. We need to bring in legislation straight away to stop this from happening, to stop these faceless, nameless, anonymous companies from Australia, Canada, America, people who've never set foot in this country coming over here and buying up properties and renting them out at massive profits, right? So we need to stop that immediately, right? And somebody needs to have some sort of initiative to get rid of that problem, right? That will go a long way to freeing up a lot of properties. But in saying that, what else are they supposed to do? And can we accept that there are many people who are in the 10,000 figure of a temporary accommodation who also should have some level of personal responsibility? And maybe, Patrick, the sense of entitlement has gone through the ceiling in the last 7 years.
No, but the problem is there, right? A lot of people now, with the private rental market and the rents are higher there, some of these people need help, you know.
I'm not denying that.
Most people are one paycheck away from the street, in my age.
We're all one paycheck away from the street.
You know, and these people do not have the means to look after themselves, so they need that bit of assistance. And like in all areas, like in health, there's it's been let down. So there is a bit of responsibility for them, for themselves. But however, when it comes to housing, they have no control when they can't afford.
Well, getting back to the main story that's created this conversation once again, and look, the conversation's been going on all week, but particularly in the last 24 hours since these photographs of Margaret and her six of her seven children in Tala Garda Station went out and became very public. Her story has become very public out of her own choice because she said today that she wants this story to be very public to try and raise awareness.
Yep.
I mean, you have spoken to Margaret. I mean, there's a lot of people have had opinions online, and obviously you're not happy with some of the opinions.
I'm going to give a rundown, right, okay? First of all, just to answer the question for the people that are out there saying that she was offered a house 3 weeks ago in Tala.
This is in July.
Yes, the house was deemed unfit, so they couldn't move around it. So I don't know why they didn't deem it unfit before they offered there.
It does seem very strange because on the Facebook page it did say she seemed delighted. She said, "I'm moving into my new house. Yeah. I've been offered a new house," almost like it had been covered, cleared, and she was in the next day.
Well, usually when the councils do, right, they offer you a house, okay, by telephone or in a meeting, but you don't get to see that house.
Right, so seemingly this particular house was deemed unfit when an inspector from the council came out and said there was a sewerage pipe leaking or something at the back or something.
Yeah, there was a problem. There was more. There was several problems with, according to my sources, so it was unfit for the move-in.
Well, Patrick, your sources are Margaret. You've spoken to Margaret yourself, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, Margaret, yeah, well, there's a couple issues inside the house as well, because I spoke to somebody on the council yesterday. I was in South Dublin County Council yesterday with Margaret on another issue. Now, Eileen Gleeson also said yesterday from the DCC she was offered accommodation, but she was only offered accommodation for five people. How are you going to split a family up when it's a single mother with all those children?
When you say only offered accommodation for five people...
Eileen Gleeson forgot. This is the same Eileen Gleeson that told the soup runs around Dublin weren't only encouraging feeding the homeless on the streets. They offered her accommodation in Meath for five people. For five. So there's seven. There's seven of them. Okay. Because there's one child staying with a family member. And what are you going to do? How are you going to split up six or children and a more? It's not possible.
But, I mean, I understand what you're saying, but if it's accommodation for five people, they're only kids. They could have slept two in a bed. Could they not have?
No, they wouldn't let her have the seven into the same accommodation.
Oh, they wouldn't let her?
Five. No, right, no, okay. They were offered for five and said, no, we're not allowed the seven and five. So Eileen Gleeson, and if that was the case by Eileen Gleeson, there were 16, there was eight or families around the city centre. Why wasn't that any of those offered to them? So,
I'm looking online, and yes, I see a lot of support for Margaret, and people are saying this is scandalous, this is terrible, the sign of the times, etc., etc. And then I'm seeing the other comments too, you know, and I'll give you, like, somebody put up a very interesting breakdown, which I verified is actually factual, in relation to how much money per week, say, Margaret and families like Margaret cost the state. So you have to understand from the taxpayers' point of view, when they're looking at Twitter or Facebook or the news or whatever it is, and they see these stories, they're going, holy Jesus, like, I'm paying X amount of tax. I'm, you know, pinned to the collar. I'm working 40 hours, so is me missus. We're paying a mortgage. And here's somebody who costs the state roughly, and I'm basing this on, say, one parent family allowance, qualified child allowance, back to school allowance, Christmas bonus, rent allowance per month based on a minimum of 1175, which if you're on HAP scheme will be a lot more than that. Fuel allowance, child benefit per child works out of 49,000 in 1 year.
Yeah. Well,
so what's the response then to that when you say
the response to that individual is that yes, they're paying a mortgage. What happens if they lose a job?
But you're missing the point.
You're trying to make it. They're trying to make it out that they're paying for this lady. Someday, some taxpayer could be paying for theirs if they lose their jobs, and the taxpayer will end up footing the bill. That's the way it works. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a housing activist as well. And I have seen this on the ground.
Yeah, but the state is paying currently, $49,946, roughly, in support services and benefits to a family like Margaret's, because when you take into consideration the seven children, right? So that's what they're paying currently. If you break it down, and that's at a minimum for rent allowance. The HAP scheme pays a lot more, right? Okay, to earn 49,000, you would probably have to gross somewhere in the region of 80 or 90 grand. Now, are you telling me that somebody can't survive on that? Do you know, I find it difficult to believe in some cases, not all, I'm not talking about Margaret's case specifically, but I find it difficult to understand sometimes how the state can be paying out so much money and people still can't manage to have a level, small level, of personal responsibility. And, you know, in relation to Margaret's case, I mean, Margaret was asked about her partner, for example, who's the father of all seven children. Where is he? I mean, does he not have a responsibility as well?
There's issues ongoing there, and the personal issues.
But the personal issues between Margaret and her partner, right? I mean, that's personal. She doesn't have to speak to him if she doesn't want. But you're missing the point, Patrick.
No, hold on.
Does he have a responsibility to pay?
You're making a point there about families. There are a lot of fathers. I'm a father myself. I would never I'm separated, but...
Okay, so and you're paying maintenance, I assume?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. As am I.
That's my responsibility.
Absolutely.
And there's deadbeat fellers out there, and I'll be clear on that. They just run away once they get into a spotted bar. So
why can't we bring in, similar to to Northern Ireland, a child with child protection services, which basically collect the money? They go after these fathers and they'll jail them.
It's happening here as well.
Sinn Féin have sent it, yeah.
You can bring a father to court for maintenance, and if it isn't paid, we took out his or social welfare or whatever he's working at. But there's a lot of single mothers out there where couldn't, for all reasons. I'm separated, but I see my child, but the fathers just run away and disown their kids. There's some out there that can't see their kids due to domestic violence. So there's all range of problems there.
However, but why are the ones that are hitting the headlines always cases where you've got, you know, like 2 weeks ago there, we had a woman living on the beach or something like that. She'd between her and her partner, they had 13 children. And they were living on the beach in Kerry because they wanted a house each so the children could move between the two. And I said, "Could you not just get one place?" And she went, "No, because we don't want to live together. We just want to be partners." And I'm going, "This is ridiculous." So I said, "You want the state not only to fund you, your 13 children, but also give you two houses as well?" I mean, you can, from a taxpayer's point of view...
I would disagree with that.
I know, but you can understand these stories are the ones that are hitting the headlines.
We're putting this debate on the now about family law and single mothers and, you know, this was not...
But it's all part of it.
It's not all part of it. There's deadbeat fathers out there, we agree, but this is to do with children and family sleeping in Garda stations. I'll give you an example, right? I dealt with, over a week ago and 2 weeks ago, a South Dublin County Council told a young single mother, and her partner actually, it's two of them, and the two young children, to go to prove that they were homeless. I seen the eviction notice from the landlord, and it was all followed because I deal with the residents' tennis ball, right? They told them they had to go and get a solicitor's letter and an affidavit to prove they're homeless. So it took them 2 days to sort that out. So
Patrick should say, we've already heard the stories that people would register themselves as homeless to basically get a house quicker. And if you don't believe that's happening, well, then there's no point in us having any more conversations.
Who wants to stay in hotels for 2 or 3 years?
Generally speaking, they're not 2 or 3 years.
The system has changed a lot in the last couple of years. Previous government and this government has destroyed the country. This is not the case. It's a small minority. I'm not denying
that. And even if it was a minority, let's say out of, you know, 100% is 20% of people are acting the mick or looking for too much, right?
We don't deal with them on the ground.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. But that 20% then are making it difficult for everybody else because they're using up housing. They're using up accommodation. They're using up benefits. So the point is that makes it more difficult then for everybody else, which has a huge knock-on effect. So somebody who's genuinely vulnerable, genuinely a bad situation, has no house. Because, for example, I heard of a story during the week where a woman, her two children were living in an apartment on the air, living in an apartment for the last 7 years, perfectly acceptable apartment, nothing wrong with it, and now they're just being given a three-bedroom house by the council. They don't need a three-bedroom house from the council. The apartment was perfectly acceptable. So, and the point
depends,
is...
It depends how long they run the house, unless you see...
But they don't need. What is this obsession with wanting a three bedroom house?
See, hold on. You're missing the point, okay? A council house is a secure tenure, and they're not having to worry.
I know professionals who don't have secure tenure. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. You answered your own question because the thing is, you could be secure for a couple of years. And you could be handed a notice. They're taking this family that you're on about has took a house because they're going to be secure now for the rest of their life in that property because it's council owned. They're not under the watch of a private landlord that could serve a notice at any stage. So we're secure now. We might be secure in a year's time. You or me, I don't know if you're renting or mortgage or whatever. But that's the point I'm making. If they build public housing for all or social affordable housing, the council housing
Well, Patrick, I'm accepting your arguments, and I've accepted most of your arguments so far, and I agree with much of what you said when you started off here today. But what I find is, and I'm not just talking about you personally, Patrick, right? Uh-huh. But many people in this situation who are supporting and helping people who are in this situation, right? I will agree with them, and I'll accept the government is not doing enough. Absolutely. I don't think the government have a lot to answer for. But they will not, and you know, I can hear it in your conversation, Pat, will not accept that people have a personal responsibility as well.
Everybody has their own personal responsibility. I'm not denying it. I just want to be clear, most activists and most groups around Dublin and beyond, right, we will not take on people that we believe it is, which it is happening, it is a small minority that is making themselves homeless to get a house. We will not take on people that's causing antisocial behaviour in the private rental market. We will not take on people that deliberately, and it happens in the private rental market as well, as bad as that deliberately won't pay rent. It's just like landlords, the slum landlords, and are giving the small good landlords a bad name. So there is a balance there. Just to be clear on that, we will not deal with people like that, because we have enough to be doing on the ground to be dealing with so many genuine cases. And I'm dealing with now, I used to deal with one or two a week. I'm dealing with now one every day, and that's not acceptable.
I mean, I'm looking at some of the text coming in, right, and it says, Niall, this all comes back to inept politicians, and I want everything for free brigade that comes in from Alan. Roberta says, Niall, you refer to the growing homeless list today. It's simple. We have a growing homeless list today because there are more fake homeless stories in the news today as opposed to real homeless people or families needing genuine help within our society. That comes in from John. And Roberta says, the answer to all the state's problems is simple. Well, I'm not going to refer to the individuals that you've referred to in your text. Next, another person says, Niall, I'm listening to Patrick, and like you, I agree with much of what he says, but is he not willing to accept that there seems to be a huge problem in this country with entitlement and people looking for too much? Are you willing to accept that, Patrick?
I don't believe in free houses. I don't believe in free houses. You have to contribute to some part of the rent, but some people are not in a position. But they do be charged rent if they're in a council house, and I know it's a lot lower than it is. You know, people out there are able to pay the 1600 like we are for a two bed. Nobody's looking for a free house, okay? The reason my point is, some of them are putting
out. With respect, what's Margaret looking for?
But
she's looking for a free house, isn't she?
Public house and
Margaret,
Patrick,
you just said nobody's looking for a free house. What's Margaret looking for?
Margaret's looking for a free house. She's looking for accommodation that is secure for her and her kids.
Equaling a free house.
It's not a free house because she'd be charged rent if it's LR.
But how is she going to pay the rent?
No.
With money she gets from the social welfare. So it's a free house.
Let me explain. I don't know much of your way you explain the way the HAP works. The HAP pay a bit and you have to pay so much.
And where is she getting the so much from?
She has to pay it.
Patrick, you're not answering your own question.
I'm giving you the figures.
Okay, so you just said you don't agree with free housing, but people are getting free housing.
Not free housing. Let me explain the figures. The HAP, right?
I know how HAP works.
Yeah, and you pay...
A small percentage, yes.
15% of your income.
A token amount, so, yes.
Yeah, no, hold on.
It is a token
amount. There's a difference in HAP and homeless HAP.
I understand. No. It depends on your personal circumstances. Yeah. Some people are working part-time, etc., right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. But in Margaret's case, for example, what's Margaret?
She would be actually entitled to a homeless HAP at the minute, okay?
Absolutely.
And the landlord would pay the full walk.
So it's a free house?
It's not a free house. She'd be charged 15%.
Okay, and where is she getting the 15%?
Well, she's getting that of the social welfare, but
that was all I wanted. So it's a free house, Patrick. Okay. But the point is, you know, somebody else says here, by the way, in relation to your argument, you were disgusted that somebody was asked to prove they were homeless. This texter says, yes, prove you're homeless. What's the issue? He said, I went in to discuss a potential mortgage. I told them my salary, my job, my address. They needed proof for the application. That's all. They won't take my word for it. Why should it be different for anybody else? In other words, when you say, you have to prove you're homeless.
People are embarrassed enough to go on and say they're homeless without having to go to a solicitor and pay a solicitor to get a letter done up, which some people struggle enough to put food on the table and the fact of being homeless as well without having to go and pay for a solicitor's letter to prove they're homeless. I don't believe if somebody says they're coming in homeless, I believe there's a lot. There's 95% genuine cases out there. I do not think that you should need a solicitor's letter to prove that you're homeless. I think it's a disgraceful move for the South Dublin County Council.
Well, how else are you supposed to prove it?
Well, they're not going to want it.
And you know what? They wouldn't have to prove it if there wasn't people doing it fake, fraudulently.
A lot of people don't want to. Hotels are for tourists and holidays. A lot of people don't want to go into hotels for 3 or 4 years. 5 or 6 people.
Ah, but you won't be in there for 3 or 4 years. There are people purposely putting themselves into hotels for a couple of months because they know they get a house.
I'm dealing with residents in...
Connor Skeen said it himself.
I'm dealing with residents in hotels at the minute in Antalya. And they're ranging at the minute between 1.5 and 3 years.
The head of Dublin City Council said it himself. He turned around and said people are making themselves homeless to get pushed up the priority list. Connor Skeen said it. People are playing the system or gaming the system.
The priority list is gone. So I wouldn't listen to a word that comes out of Eileen Gleeson's mouth. She's, like I said, I'll go back to the point earlier. She's the same one that told the super runs in Dublin. And let somebody come in. It's like Simon Coveney told the activists in Apollo House that there'd be nobody sleeping in hostels, hotels by July. He broke that promise. Owen Murphy, I don't know what he's at. He's lost control of himself altogether. You know, the state have failed them, but they haven't really represented them to fail them. So
okay,
they've let everybody down.
All right, well, listen, I appreciate you coming on the air, Patrick. I appreciate the conversation. All right. There's Patrick Nellis, who's with Dublin West Housing Action. Also, by the way, he helped with the inner city, helping the homeless as well. This is not obviously directly related to Margaret Cash, but it is related to a person in her situation. All right. So if you take a single mother, which Margaret is claiming to be, with 7 children, with 5 in school, who are going to school, leave aside rent allowance, because it's already clear that Margaret has been offered the HAP scheme. The HAP scheme in Dublin comes up to an awful lot more than the 1175 that the rent allowance actually, in some cases, is up to a hell of a lot more. And I the figures now that Stephen has given me are quite liberal. But if you, and I'm going to give you the breakdown, right? One parent family allowance is 198 a week. That's 10,296 a year. A qualified child allowance, when you're looking at 7 children, obviously, is 223 per week, which is 11,575 a year. A back to school allowance, which is 24 a week. When you break it down, it works out at €1,250, because you've got obviously 7 children, 5 of whom are in school. The Christmas bonus, which is 85% of the weekly payment, that works out at 358 at Christmas, or you can add it up to about 688 per week. The HAP, based on 1,325, I can tell you now it'll be a lot more than that, so that's a very conservative figure, is 15,900 per year. Fuel allowance, once you're into the house, is 608 per year. Child benefit at 140 per child is 11,760 per year, based on 7 children. That comes to a sum total, actually, of 51,746. That's net, by the way. To earn that figure, if you were somebody who was working, to earn 51,746, you'd probably need to be looking to be earning 90 grand a year. Now you tell me how this work makes any sense whatsoever. So the state is essentially paying a salary of 90,000 a year, roughly before tax, to somebody who might have 7 children and looking for what Patrick says is not a free house. Of course it's a free house. That's what's costing the state. Now the state is you, the people listening today who are taxpayers. And we have a duty. Yes, there are vulnerable people in society who need to be supported and helped in every way we possibly can. And people think that I'm having a go here. I'm not having a go. But some people are taking the piss. And this is the problem. If the people didn't take the piss, we would have enough to go around for the genuine people who needed support and help. Of course, we have a social welfare system there for a very good reason. That not everybody's capable of getting a job. Not everybody's capable of funding their own children. And then the other argument, if you're in a bad situation, I just don't understand when I hear these stories constantly all the time. I'm not talking about any individual story. But if somebody, who might have 11 children or 12 children or 6 children or 5 children, where they've been in a bad situation since the moment they had the first child. I'm living in a hotel. I've got 3 kids. It's awful. And by the way, I'm pregnant again for the same bloke who hasn't supported the last 3 children. Where does the personal responsibility come into this? Why are we responsible all the time? I mean, Patrick pointed out that Margaret's partner doesn't have a relationship with her anymore. That's fine. People's relationships break up. But he has 7 children. They're all his. He has a duty to them. He has a responsibility to them. He has no responsibility to Margaret. He doesn't have a relationship with her anymore. But he has a responsibility to those children. Why are we picking up the tab for his kids? Why isn't he picking up his own tab? Or at least part of it? She stated that he's not giving her any maintenance. Why not? Where's he living? Is he living in another house that the state is paying for? And if they get back together, or if they even know each other in the future, or have some sort of verbal relationship, is he going to have to get a house from the state as well so the kids can visit him? Where is this all going to stop? Text 53544. And once again, I do agree there are people in very vulnerable situations. I'm not a heartless bastard. I'm not uncompassionate. I understand completely there are people who need support and help. But let's stop taking the piss here. Derek, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Derek?
Hey, Noel. How you doing?
Derek, you've been registered as homeless for 2 years.
Yes.
By the way, Derek, I know I had a bit of a rant there, right? I'm not having a go at everybody who's homeless or everybody who's in a bad situation. Everybody deserves support and help. They do. They genuinely do. Because that's why we have a system. But is the system being abused?
By a small minority. My experience of going down to Park 8 Street, they were lovely. I found myself in that situation and I endeavoured to get out of it. I work, my wife works, and we manage, but we found ourselves in that particular situation.
And I know it must be an awful situation to be in.
Well, it is, because we didn't sleep for 6 months. Then you're trying to help, you know, keep a lid on the kids and, you know.
Yeah, it's embarrassing, you know, you feel, can I say this, and this is not sexist, but as a father, I think fathers feel it more in some sense that they feel they have a duty to provide. You know, and I'm pretty sure at the time you felt at a low point.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, when I went down there the first day, I don't mind saying this, you know, I was at the lowest level and I met two lads outside, two people I wouldn't say I'd ever talked to. And these were real people with stories. And they told me, you'll be grand in there. And then I went in and they were lovely. And once I started talking, and that's all you want is someone to listen. I know the situation yesterday. I was shocked reading it. The poor guards, I mean, what does the poor policeman on the desk who stamps passports and all of a sudden he's faced with seven kids?
Seemingly it's not the first time that the family themselves have been in the Garda station before.
Okay.
Yeah. It just so happened to be the first time they took pictures of us.
But they dealt with that. But it's a situation, as an earlier caller said, that we can all find ourselves in.
But in your situation, you were in the situation, you got support from the state and help from the state, and you're now out of the situation.
Yes.
Right. And that's the way the system works. That's the way the system should work, right? But we have people who are constantly in the system, who are constantly not happy, who are constantly in a situation where they're getting turfed from one house to another, or they're in hotels, or they're, you know, how do they get to that point? And while they're in that situation, you know, and I hate to sound really uncompassionate here, continuing to have more children to make that situation worse. Now, everybody is entitled to have a child if they want to have a child. That's fine. But, you know, you have to know your limits. I mean, I remember, and I'm coming across as Mr. Goody-Goody here, right? But when we got married first, going back, when I got married 25 or 27 years ago, whatever it was, we decided we wouldn't have a child for 3 years because we didn't have the money. You know what I mean? So you kind of have to plan things. So if you're in a bad situation, I'm sure, Derek, at the time when you were in that homeless situation, the last thing in your mind was, let's have more kids.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And I speak as a father. You do anything for your kids. You go short of food to make sure they're...
Absolutely.
You know, you don't go out. Why should you? I mean, you know, a night out is a night out, big deal. But you make sure that they're fed, they're looked after, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They might have to wait a bit longer to get stuff, but you endeavour to do it. It's just, I find with the online stuff as well, it's an awful lot of... I personally find it a bit distasteful. The only good thing about this coming month, the Pope has gone down to visit Brother Kevin, which is a centre I have worked for and have used.
Yeah, he's a great man.
Right? And because the Pope is like the President of America, he has the world media with him. This is going to expose this on an international scale.
When you say expose it, okay, our housing crisis, inverted commas, it's not as bad as, say, Britain's or France's.
No, it's not. And
I mean, in the big scheme of things, there's not that many people homeless.
I know, but you see...
It's just become a buzzword. Well, when I say a buzzword, it's become something to talk about in the news days that we're bored.
But you see, everybody in that situation has a story, okay? And, you know, from a single person who's just been released from Mountjoy and has nowhere to go to a family who get noticed or whatever. And I personally try and look, step back a little bit and say, well, what's the story of this person? And deal with them on an individual basis. I personally wouldn't go on social media with my story. I wouldn't do it. That's me, though.
Yeah.
I just wouldn't.
Well, when I saw that story yesterday, I felt deeply sorry for those children. Because no child or no children should be in that situation, sleeping on the bench in a Garda station. That shouldn't happen to a child. But as much as I do say, you know, Leo Radker and the rest of you lads, you need to look at yourselves and sort this problem out and approach this differently. We need to complete rethink of how we're doing this, right? But we also need to become strict. We need to say to somebody who's in a bad situation, there's a house. If you don't want it, grand, piss off. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I don't mean that in a very blunt manner. It comes across very blunt.
I absolutely agree.
We need to free up housing for people. And if people are going to be turning down housing or not taking housing, and I keep saying it, I'm blue in the face saying it, there's 7,000 houses in Limerick. There is a lot of people living in Dublin or want to live in Dublin, and there isn't any housing for them.
Well, I fully believe, I don't know if it's still going, but there was the urban relocation scheme a few years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I can understand, okay?
I find it difficult, Derek, that these stories that we see in the paper, you know, woman with 12 children on a beach, they're always the extreme stories that are being used by the left all the time. It's not a story of Derek and his wife, you know, who are in genuine situation. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I do indeed. I do indeed. And to hear that then, you say to yourself, you know, there is so much help people can get. But then there must be a point where you say, look, we've done everything we can here.
Okay, well, stay there a second, because Brian, you're in Classic Hits. How you doing, Brian?
How you doing now?
People need to take responsibility for themselves, is that what you're saying?
I think you just said what I was planning on saying, really.
I'm sorry, I'm blowing your thunder.
The only thing I suppose I can add to it, I agree 100% on what you're saying, this, like everything, the people, like that chap Derek there, like he's... Like, in my opinion, like, there's a man, like, that got up off his arse and done something about it and got out of that situation himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if there was more people like him, we wouldn't be in this situation. I think the government hand out stuff too easy. We're a nanny state. We're too soft. As Irish people, we're completely, completely soft.
So is the homeless crisis as bad as all these homeless agencies are making it out to be?
I think it is. I don't think they're exaggerating. I just think that it is in a terrible state because we have basically people that won't get up off their arses and get a job. The majority of people, we've scammers out there. I know, look, I could, like everyone else, I could be here for 20 minutes, half an hour, telling you about people that are working and they won't get, the couples won't get married because they'll get social housing if they're not cohabiting, you know, they can prove that.
Course, yeah.
I know two guys personally, I won't go into details, that are doing that. They're working full time, probably clearing 600 euros a week, and their rent is 50 euros a week, social housing.
Because they're living with a girlfriend, cohabiting with a girlfriend.
Because they're living with a girlfriend. And look, I'm not the only one. And what's wrong with this country is people won't come out and say it either. They're too afraid to upset other people, or you can't say this, or you can't say that. The other side of it is, and it all kind of, like, I'm a self-employed contractor, and I see it on the ground here like this. We can't find workers, general labourers, skilled labourers.
But allegedly, these people can't get jobs.
Workers. We can't. My brother's the same. He's a self-employed contractor, and he can't get reliable fellas from the ages of 18 to 35.
Do me a favour, say that, because I've only got 2 minutes. I want to get Susan in. She's waited so long. Sorry, Susan, go ahead. I apologise, Susan. Let me just switch you on there. Hang on. Sorry, Susan, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just listening to what everyone is saying there, and I think that really we've got a social problem and we've caused it ourselves. We've gone from abusing vulnerable people to actually spoiling them. And they're like children. They're so spoiled. They just can't stop themselves. They're running around like headless chickens. You've got the likes of Helena and Rory that are trying to purchase a house. And we're told when we're young, you go to school, you go to college, you get a job, you save up a deposit, you buy your own property. Even down to council houses, as you said before, and I heard you mention it before, it's a stepping stone. You know, it's not, oh, let's get a council house for life, like a bag for life. You know, it's like, well, we get that and then we aspire to buy our own home. you know?
Yeah, you aspire to something better. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah, and that's the whole point of it. And that's why when they started to do the 20% of all of the development properties as social and affordable housing, what is there to aspire to? So you're living in something that's exactly the same as what Helena and Rory have bought.
Mm. No, and now, I talked about this last night. There's no. It seems unfair to those people who are paying the $375,000 for the house and working around the clock to pay a mortgage and sacrificing, you know, the holiday and the extra car to have somebody move in next door for practically nothing. And when I say practically nothing, sometimes they pay a small amount, yeah.
And the golden ticket is a child. You know, as I say, a child. Everyone has a child.
Well, I can tell you now, Helena would be far better off packing in her job tomorrow.
Yes.
Rory packing his job too. Helena get pregnant. And I guarantee you, within a year, she'll have a house.
Exactly. You know,
I mean, but isn't that a sad reflection on society? That is the best. If she, and I know she desperately would like to have her own home. She wants to, her and Rory want to go together. They want to get married, all that kind of stuff. They have that whole dream. But she can't see the end of that dream. She can't see the light at the end of that tunnel because, stupidly, she's working.
But, Niall, if they want to have a child, why is it that they have to sit down and plan that child? Okay, if it happened by accident, the two of them be going, oh, Jesus, how are we going to pay the bills? Okay, other people, oh, there's another one, Asha, taxpayer will pay for it.
Susan, there was one comment there. So how dare Susan suggest that people who are vulnerable and need support are being spoiled? Do you want to maybe put that into a bit more context in relation to when you say they're being spoiled?
I suppose an example I can give is that a couple of years ago, I was on social media, it was Facebook, and people were going on about poor this and poor that. And I said, and I meant this in a really practical way. Look, we're in code red, okay? So you're a single mother, you've got a couple of kids or whatever. But from now, because we're kind of in a bit of a shitty situation, if you have any more children, we can't pay for them, okay? Because we're trying to get the country back on its feet, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I was hung, drawn and quartered by thousands of people. And
for even suggesting that people should take personal responsibility for their children.
If 2018, there were so many forms of contraception, if that did happen, if I was in charge and I could say that, well, that's the rules and that's it, you can't argue with me because I'm in charge. You can be sure that Jono and Mary would have Chantelle down in the medical centre within 5 minutes and on the pill because they're not paying for their child. If she has another one.
I'm looking here, and by the way, Kevin points out a very good story. The Irish Times ran a story last year in relation to, and it said basically the headline of the story was immigration is making our housing crisis worse. And I don't want to just ignore this particular story and ignore this part of the issue, because it is part of the issue, because I would be deemed of some sort of media blackout if I ignored it. And I watched the video on the Irish Times. It was a woman from Cameroon who was an asylum seeker in this country with her children, two children. When she was given asylum status, obviously she was given an apartment then, a two-bedroom apartment. Nice, beautiful little apartment, actually, because the cameras are in walking around with her. And she, under the Family Reunification Programme, in case people don't know what that is, once an asylum seeker is given and granted asylum, they can then, you know, bring their mother over or their father over or their brother over or their sister over if they want to, which is just this is just bizarre situation, right? So we've already got a problem and we're importing more problems, right? But in any case, she was going around the apartments and you could clearly see that the state had provided a seating area in the bath for her mother, who's probably not very mobile, and, you know, a special commode in the bathroom and everything else. But she was given out about the apartment saying there wasn't enough room. It looked like my last house, to be honest with you. It was as big as my last house. And in the background, while they were talking to her, was it looked like probably a 54-inch curved screen television. And I'm saying this woman is living in a better situation than most people. She was crying, saying, I'm homeless. I want something better for me and my mother and my two children. Well, and I'm going, stop taking the piss.
Yeah. No, the crying is good. And they have that down to a T. They come into us, into the office every day. They're from all corners of the earth. And, you know, the crying, they'll come in. And
oh, this
say,
is
right,
in,
where
because
are you
you're working as a state agent, yeah.
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 Sorry. And so they come in and they say, I'm homeless. And of course, I listen to you all the time. And I, you know, when you were kind of saying homeless, it's such a word that's used, isn't it? I mean, you know.
Well, we've redefined the word, yeah.
Well, exactly, yeah. So, you know, I'm homeless. And I go, oh, right, okay. So where are you living at the moment? Well, I'm staying in my mother's house. Right, so you're not actually technically homeless. Yeah, but I don't have my own home. Okay, so where do you work? Oh, no, I don't work because I've got three kids. Right. So where does your husband or your partner work? Oh, I'm not with him anymore. Right.
Or them anymore.
You, and he's looking after his children. Well, he only owns one of them, you know? So you can kind of more or less, but a lot of them, it just goes over their heads. Some of them realize what you're saying because they know what they're doing because they're doing it purposely. And this is what one of the chaps that was on before I came on, and he said that Irish people are too afraid to stand up against these people because of things in the past, as I said the other day. But you can have a balance on that. I mean, I had a guy from some part of Africa. I won't just pick a particular part of Africa. And he came in and he had his lovely man bag and his gorgeous leather jacket, diesel jeans, everything else. Looked lovely, not a wrinkle on his face, lovely big shiny white teeth. And he said, oh, I'm homeless. And I said, right, okay, so where are you actually living at the moment? Well, I'm sleeping in a friend's flat. And I said, great. And he said, right, I need a house. And I said, okay, have you got a family? And he said, no, well, I live on my own. I've got my two ex-girlfriends who are from the same part of Africa. They both have two children for him, mixed sexes. So therefore, he is allowed a house as well because they might come and stay with him. So I worked out between him and his two ex-girlfriends that are allowed up to $1,500 a month each. And then the four children, I mean, I started to add up the money and I was getting so annoyed that I just ended up scrunching the paper up and throwing it in the bin because it was just annoying.
So he had two ex-girlfriends
mm-hmm.
that had two children, and because they were mixed sexes, obviously they had to have separate bedrooms.
Yeah.
And they might come and stay with him. So he needed a house for them to visit him.
So now
the taxpayer has been is now responsible for people's marriage breakups and also people's relationships.
Yeah, and that's $4,500 just in housing alone and his inability to use contraception. So anyway, I spoke to him for a little while and I said, look, I just don't have anything. We haven't had anything for 6 months. And then I said, hold on. And I walked up to the window of the office and I pointed up the road and I said, see up there? And he said, yeah. And I said, just do a left there. And he said, yes. And I said, there's a large chemist on the corner. I said, do us a favour and buy some condoms.
Oh, fair
play to you. Because, you know, it's ridiculous. And the thing is, when I come out and say things like that, people just attack you. But you're talking practically, we are 2018. It's not, you know, 1920.
Stay there. So, Brian, you wanted to say something just before Helena let you go there.
So. Yeah. Sorry, Niall. Yeah. Just, like, she said that lady Susan is dead right and you're right and I can't disagree.
Well, Susan is dealing with it. She's on the call face, so to speak. Yeah, she's an estate agent, yeah.
I see it myself every day of the week. In normal day life, people taking advantage of our good nature.
That's what happens.
Yeah, but my question is, like, and I agree with you, so don't take this person. What are we going to do about it?
Exactly.
I tell you, absolutely nothing.
And you know why we'll do nothing? You've got Paul Murphy, you got Ruth Coppinger, you got Claire Daly, you got Mick Wallace, you've got all the left-wing politicians telling us that we need to be doing more.
No, I don't think so. No. We're an absolute soft nation of people. We should be ashamed of ourselves. I'm 37 years of age and I'm ashamed of the generation coming up behind us and my generation.
I mean,
here's
an example of that, right? A text here says, Niall, a good few years back, I was working as an electrician for a company. I had a young lad who was a helper. I suggested that he should start to serve his time as an electrician, but he laughed at me and he told me, are you mad? He says, I'm going on the labour like me da. And he said, it's being treated as a life choice. He said, I struggle every week to pay my bills and this lad now has a house near me and a 4x4 Jeep.
Well, I tell you a better one now. I took on an apprentice 6 weeks ago, and an apprenticeship wages. After 6 weeks, he asked me for more money. After 6 weeks on the job, I told him, do you know what you do now? I said, get into the van. I said, stay there till the day is over and I'll drop you home. You're not coming in tomorrow morning. That's only a tip of the iceberg. There's loads of I'm going from a tradesman's point of view. The government are saying that we don't have enough tradesmen in this country. So no disrespect to the foreign nationals. They're going to bring in foreign nationals then to pick up the workload, and we're going to have the same problem we had 15, 10 years ago.
Okay, well, do me a favour, just stay there. I just want to bring one more person on, and please stay there, both of you. Irene, you're on Classic Kids. Go ahead, Irene.
Hi, Niall.
You think most cases are genuine?
I totally agree with that lady there, what you said. The whole system is wrong, Niall, right? What's happening here as that case on the paper, I think that is ridiculous myself, personally. But I think what's happening here, the whole structure has to be changed here in this country. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that when people think they should just walk, leave their kid, go out on to a police station or anywhere else, I think they're irresponsible, parents, for a start. Now, people are probably 18, you know, I don't care. My point is, you cannot have a system where there's no structure to it. Do you know what I mean, Niall? So what they need, this government needs to do...
grow a set of balls.
Yeah, and exactly. 10 out of 10 for that.
And ignore the lefties who are going bonkers all the time.
I don't believe the word lefties.
Well, I mean, look, homeless, with the greatest respect, Irene, homelessness has become an industry in this country. You've got any amount of organisations out there being funded by the state.
100% agree with you.
Yeah.
My point is, we have a situation in this country where not only have we people coming in entitled to housing, as that lady said, we had that issue, if you recall, when your colleague there couldn't buy a house. And if our national with 13 children gets a brand new house in Blanchetown worth £400,000. I mean, how funny is this? Like, you know.
Well, how disproportionate was it? There was a story back in 2012 or 2013 where in Fingal they had produced figures. And I think the figures suggested that nearly or almost 50% of the people on the housing list in the Fingal area weren't actually Irish people.
Exactly.
So that also is part of the problem. I'm not saying it's the whole problem,
absolutely.
But it needs to be tackled.
Yeah, now that needs to stop, Niall. Secondly, people who work are on an ordinary wage, just for want of a better word, or a livable wage, should have the finances establishments in this country to help them buy a property. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, and we've got to make those, and we have to, that's something the government need to do as well, by the way, is make properties affordable. Before we start saying to people, you know, we're not giving you anything, you need to start making things affordable for people so they can. I mean, because people like Helena, for example, should be able to buy a property.
My heart goes out to her, we're all that soldier, we all worked and we say that my own children have
stayed
and worked.
Right. I mean, we had a system going back 11, 12 years ago there. I mean, sure, Brian and Susan as well, you remember the affordable housing scheme, whereby the state would pay for half it, you pay the other half, and then when you were finished paying the mortgage, you could buy it back from the state. It was basically like PCP but with property. You know, I mean, if we can do PCP on a car, why can't we do PCP on a property? You know, so you're buying your own property. Yeah, sorry.
But we can't tax ourselves out of it.
No.
It's you're talking there, that other lady, not Susan, but the other lady.
Irene.
She's on about the government. The government are going to do sweet jack all for us.
Yeah, can I just finish my point, Ivan, already, please?
Hang on. Let Irene just finish her point, Brian.
Thank you. You see, we have a government, unfortunately, that thinks more of being accepted in Europe, being the nice guys. That has to stop, right? We cannot keep taking people into our country. Now, I watched the program where they were brought in and they were in whatever you call them, place to stay in.
Direct provision.
And within 8 weeks, a couple had a brand new house in a beautiful private house with one child. This is wrong. So to me, there should be a housing list. You do your time on that housing list. And when something comes up, you be housed.
Well, to me, I don't believe we should be allowing people into the country unless they're going to work. But however, that's a whole different kettle of fish. But hang on, I have to just wrap up. But very quickly, Brian, you want to say something there? Go ahead.
Yeah, just it's up to the Irish people to change it, because we've done it in the past 50, 60, 70 years ago. The government are doing absolutely nothing for us. Our Taoiseach, like, he's a known baboon's arse. To ask me, like the rest of them.
They're saying things to be popular.
What's very frustrating about it is that people, if you and I went up to Dáil Éireann tomorrow morning with a placard and wanting everything to change, the rest of the Irish people would say we're mad, because it's not on their doorstep.
You know what I want? When Donald Trump has finished his 4 years in government in the United States, I'm going to get a campaign together to get him to come over here and be Taoiseach of the country for a few years.
Yeah. He'd be the right fella, yeah.
He'd start it all out.
Yeah, he would, yeah.
Okay, listen, I have to wrap it up. Listen, sorry, Susan, very quickly.
I was going to say, we can get you to deal with the housing situation of handing out the houses. And if they say, no, I don't like that because it's not big enough or whatever, you can say, piss off.
Grand. Take it or leave it. All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, Susan. All right.
Okay.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. 4FM.